All right. Thank you. I've done that, but it's been probably 15 years since we've did those eggs, and that is really cool. I love that. Thanks, Ken. That's cool. I want you all to stand for a second. By a showing of hands, and I want you to don't look around, just by yourself, in showing of hands. How many of you acknowledge that Jesus is your Savior? Raise your hand. Okay. I love it. You got one and a half raised. This is a day we celebrate, right? We celebrate because we acknowledge and we have given our lives to a living Savior, right? So the key phrase today is, He is risen, right? And your response is what? Oh my gosh, are you serious? This is why I had you stand, okay? Because you need to get a little oomph behind this. Like, I'm serious. I want you to think about this for just a second. One sin can cause us to live in outer darkness and eternal separation from God forever. One sin. I don't know about you, but I've committed at least one already today, I'm sure. Okay? One sin sends us to hell forever. Now, you're standing because you acknowledge that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you, has washed you clean, that Jesus has risen from the dead and has spared you and saved you from that eternal destiny. And instead, you will live with him in his presence forever. So when I say Jesus is risen, oh my gosh, you guys, do we need coffee? Do we need to take a coffee break here? I mean, seriously, are you excited that you have eternal life? Eternal life begins now, right now. We are eternally alive, right? We don't ever have to face outer darkness. So when Jesus has risen, does it really mean anything to you? Does it mean, yeah, he's risen, right on? Or, yes, thankfully, yes, I am saved. Yes, he has risen, right? So I'll give you one more shot, all right? One more shot to say it like you mean it, or we'll just pack up and we'll eat treats and we'll call it a day. Seriously, has Jesus risen in your life? Has he risen? Jesus has risen, right? Oh, thank you. You may sit down. Wow. Yes. Thank you, guys. It's like in me. We gotta say it. We gotta mean that and shout it. It's exciting. This is exciting. We started the Easter service program last weekend with Palm Sunday, like Ken had shared. Okay, and we had palm leaves. We waved those as we sang Hosanna, right? The people were excited. The people were excited as Jesus, comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. They're excited because their Savior has come, their King has come, and he's coming into town, and they're singing and they're waving, and there's this emotion behind it, right? And we all know that the story changed a little bit toward the end of the week. But we started by celebrating and waving palm branches, and we even had, like Ken had shared, our little Janie the donkey who came. I mean, what does a donkey, I mean, do you remember, what does the donkey have to do with Palm Sunday in Easter? Do you know? What is it? Yes. That's right. He rode on the donkey, right? He comes in. And so every year we always have a special visitor, and the donkey comes and visits, and we get to see that, right? So that's pretty neat. Yesterday, you guys were here, right? We did an Easter egg hunt. And yesterday, while the parents were out hiding the eggs, we made Easter cookies, okay? And so do you remember Gallen, do you remember what those have to do with Easter? Do you remember anything about that yesterday? No? What do you think? What do you think? No? You're like, don't put me on the spot. What do you think, Nate? Yeah, you know what? It's really cool. There's a couple of those little recipes on the back still, but when we go through the process, we take the pecans and we crush them, and we talk about how Jesus was crushed for our sin, right? And or whipped or beaten. And then we kind of go through each ingredient, and I have the kids taste the salt, and it represents the saltiness of Jesus' tears. And then we taste the sugar of, you know, how sweet, you know, salvation is and God's love for us. And we go through this process. Oh, yes. And then there's the really good-smelling vinegar, right? You didn't like it. No, you guys did not like that. But do you remember how did we end yesterday? Where did we end with those Easter eggs? Yeah, and do you remember what the oven represented? The tomb of Jesus, right? We put him in there, and then we taped it. So, because you remember, will you go get him and bring him in here for me really quick? Yeah, just run in there and grab him. No? You and Gallen? You guys go together? You want to go in there and get him? All right, Gallen, you go get him and bring him in here. Go get him. Yeah. But 10 minutes later, he's in there just, they're gone. I love it. We had the kids tape the oven door shut as sealing the tomb. No one is to break that seal. Maybe Glenn's in there eating them with him.
Put the engineer in there.
This isn't rocket science. Just seriously. Send the woman. Send the woman. What? What? What do you mean they're gone? They're not there? Where are they? You don't. Are you sure you didn't eat them, Gallen? Did you eat them all? No? Glenn, did you eat all the cookies? Well, where did they go, guys? Yeah, you know what? Come on in, guys. Come here. Come here. They are right here. So, they're gone, right? They just like what? The tomb was empty, right? In the tomb that Jesus was buried the next day, did the two women find Jesus when they came to the tomb? No, it was empty, right? It was empty. He had risen from the dead. So our cookies somehow magically appeared here. They're here. So I want you guys get to try one, okay? So go ahead and take one. All right, so the whole thing about with these cookies, which has taken years for me to perfect, has... Yes, you will. Is the cookies here represent the tomb, right? And so if you make them right, which is very, very rare for me, you can actually bite into it and then it's empty. It's empty inside, okay? So that being said, I'll have Ken, will you be the guy? And thank you. You can distribute those out. These are really messy, so don't worry. They're going to end up everywhere. When you bite into them, they just fall apart. Cookies. So we are finishing our tradition today by enjoying our Easter cookies that we make, and the tomb was empty, and here they arrived today. So we did our Easter egg hunt and our Easter cookies yesterday, and then obviously Friday night we still have the remnants here of our cross. We did our nail it to the cross service, which we do every year, and again, that's one of my favorite services. And it's really a story about a common thief who was changed by a not-so-common man who was Jesus. And it focuses on this lost, straggling sheep into the gate as it's being closed on his life. But the service didn't end there. If you remember, everybody came up and they nailed something onto the cross, which was kind of a sin or a struggle or just something that we're dealing with. Whatever it was that God put on our hearts, we nailed it up and we left it on the cross. And I don't know about you guys, but we don't have any music that plays during that time. And that first nailing, that first sound of the hammer is always extremely impactful for me. Because you hear that nail, that hammer, and the sound of that just going in. And again, it's that reminder of Jesus being nailed to the cross. And it's such a powerful symbol. And it, we're reminded of why did Jesus come? You know, why did he come? To die for our sins, to take them upon himself, to pay the price, and that God gives us a gift. And again, this is nothing that we can earn. Nothing. No one will ever be good enough to earn salvation. Not at all. And so we finish the service by nailing up our stuff, leaving it on the cross, representative of just giving and casting our cares to Jesus. And then we blow out the candles. We say the last seven sayings that Jesus said on the cross, and we leave in kind of quiet and solemn. And then we come back today to realize that all of the sins are gone. They're forgiven. They're taken. And Jesus' blood has washed us clean. And we come here this morning to celebrate the fact that we're not left in our transgressions. We are not left to our own devices, to our own wisdom, to our own righteousness, that we're forgiven. And so we come this morning to celebrate. And I love it. Hebrews 10:17 says, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." So we are forgiven. And I want to remind all of you that Jesus paid the price, that he's washed us clean, and that no matter if you still fail, no matter if you still sin, you struggle, all we have to do is just confess our sins, and he's faithful and just, and he'll forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we just keep going, and we keep going. And it's a process of sanctification that God is constantly shaping us and molding us. What? You want more? All right, we'll get some more in just a moment, okay? So I do, I'm kind of like thrown off a little bit because you've said the whole Easter story in your eggs, so it's good. I don't need to, but I'm going to reread. I'm going to finish where we left off from Friday night. So if you have a Bible, open it to John chapter 20, and we're going to read this passage before we move into our last part of our celebration this morning. John chapter 20. Ken has already shared this, but it's worthy to be shared and reread and finished in our thought process. John 20, verses 1 through 20, and it says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken our Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.' So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb." Must have been a crossbitter. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. These passages right here should bring us joy no matter what we're going through. Every single trial, every single anxiety, every single fear, anger, emotion, whatever, anything that we're dealing with, we can come back to this passage and realize we are not left alone. We are not forgotten. That Jesus has gone to prepare a place for each one of us and will take us to that place someday. The temporary trials that we're going through, that's all they are temporary. This too will pass. These things shall pass. And God will work out all of these things together for our good, for those that are in Christ Jesus. So this morning I want to encourage you. I want you to remember this passage. I want you to remember this day. You know, remember the fact that we symbolically placed and left our cares at the feet of Jesus here, and they're gone. And that it's true. I love how you finished the message. It's true. This is true. Jesus is true, is real, and he is alive. He is risen. Not has risen. He is risen. And he is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. So he will come again for us one day. We are not forgotten. So today I want you to stand one final time for me, and we're going to say it like we really mean it, that we are not forgotten, that we are remembered, that we are loved, that we are forgiven for everything. Do you believe that? A couple of you believe it. Right on. All right. So a couple of you are going to shout loud, right? So Jesus has risen from the dead to give us life. Jesus has risen.
Truly he has risen.
Jesus has risen.
Truly he has risen.
Come on, kids. I want to hear you guys. Last time, as loud as you guys can yell. Loud as you can yell. And I've heard some of you yell. You can yell loud, all right? Ready? Jesus has risen.
Truly he has risen.
Was that really as loud as you could do it? Weak. I don't believe it. I'm serious. If I could open the doors, if we had neighbors, I'd say shout it out so everybody could hear us. I want to hear it as loud as you can hear it, as loud as you can yell it, all right? Seriously, this will be the last time. Ready? Are you ready? Jesus has risen. Yes, thank you. Yes, okay. Lord, thank you so much that you rose from the dead. Thank you that you bring us new life. Thank you that you died on a cross, shed your blood for the remission of our sins. Lord, we praise your holy name. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for forgiveness. Lord, I thank you for sanctification, and I pray that you would continue to draw us into your presence, mold us and shape us into the image of Jesus. And I pray that you would guide and direct our steps, Lord, as we choose to seek you and honor you in our lives and in our church. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And I thank you so much for family, and I pray you'd be with us the rest of today as we worship and celebrate the rising of Jesus. In his name we pray, amen.